as we turn to God's word, let's pray. Father, as we look at your word, seal the truths of it on our hearts. Transform our lives so we would display you better. In Jesus' name, amen. In Kenya, in a town near Nairobi, a woman named Wanja was walking to the local market when she heard her name called. It was a homeless man. She didn't know who he was, but he knew her name. He was calling her over. So she went over and they started talking. And then she realized it was a childhood friend from school, a friend called Hinga. She remembered he'd been really good at soccer, lived with his grandmother, but they had no money, so he often had to skip school. Eventually, he'd been evicted from the squat where they'd been living because they couldn't pay anything. He'd still done well at school until his grandmother died. But then he'd dropped out. He'd started taking drugs. This had eventually become heroin and ended up on the streets scrapping through rubbish. They'd lost touch 15 years ago. Wanja, after having lunch with him, left him her phone number in case he needed anything. And over the next few days, he'd often try and borrow someone's phone to ring her just to hear a friendly voice. In those phone calls, he said he was committed to get off heroin. She says she then decided something needed to be done to help him. Now in Kenya, drug rehab programs cost a lot. She couldn't afford it herself, but set up fundraising on Facebook. She only got to about 40% of what was needed, but she took him to the rehab place anyway, and they took him in. They said he was really committed to coming off drugs for the 9 days. And she's still committed to helping him further, because she's seen a change in him. She wrote, "A week ago, Hinga and I couldn't hold a normal conversation without me trying to hold his head up with my hand in order for him to concentrate. Today, we can have a normal conversation with him confidently looking at me." She also said, "People say I changed Hinga's life. He changed mine too. I realize now that a small act can change a person's life." Wanda, seeing a friend needing help, took risks that ended up changing his life and ultimately hers. In Ruth today, we're going to see a lot of small acts of mercy that end up eventually totally changing people's lives. The start of the passage, Ruth and Naomi have come back from Moab, a long journey, so they're tired. But Ruth knows that it's harvest season and that she can go behind the harvesters and pick up leftover grain. Any grain the harvesters missed should belong to the poor, so she can pick it up and provide for them. It was actually written into the Jewish law that leftover grain should be left for the poor, for the foreigners to pick up. Leviticus 19 reads, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. do not go over your vineyards a second time, or pick up the grapes that may have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. The Israelites were told not to pick up every last thing from the fields, but leave them for the poor, for the foreigner. And Ruth fits into both categories. She's a Moabess from the nation that refused Israel food and that sought to conquer them on the way to the promised land. So she's definitely a foreigner. And she and Naomi have no men to provide for them. So they're poor. And Ruth suggests to Naomi that she go out and gather the leftover grain. And Naomi says, go ahead. Now, it would have probably been safer for Ruth if Naomi had come along with her, introduced her to people. Naomi knows people, so then they could glean in a field safely, perhaps belonging to someone known to Naomi. And it's also far less intimidating going to someone who knows who you are. It's much harder if you have to cold call someone. At least that's my experience when I've had to call someone I don't know. And in this case for Ruth, at least they'd know who her companion was. She wouldn't have been going alone. But that's what happened, because Naomi's probably tired from the journey, as she's older than Ruth. And she's also in grief. She's still mourning her son's death. And the seeming hopelessness of her situation. So Ruth ends up determined, going alone to the fields. She'll take the risk. And she talks to a foreman, gets permission, and starts gleaning. The foreman actually describes what she does as she worked steadily, except for a short break. She'd taken a little bit of time to recover in between hard work in the shelters they used at harvest time. But other than that one break, she just worked solidly. Ruth endured and worked hard to give Naomi and her something to live on. Well, Ruth, in the previous chapter, had entrusted herself to our God, committed her life to him. Here, she knew it was harvest time. She knew it was a time that God provided for the poor by having food that they could work together. And therefore, however hard it might be, she was determined to take advantage of this provision to make sure she and Naomi had food and did not just live off savings. She trusted God, she took risks, and she persevered at the work to take advantage of this provision of God. And it's true of us that it's important that we're faithful in the small things when we seek God's provision. Yes, it can be easy to think, who cares? Or what I ultimately need is so much greater. But it's really important to just persevere in the small things. To trust him to provide in the everyday. And persevere in doing little things faithfully. And while Ruth is working in the field, the owner arrives. We've already been introduced to Boaz in verse 1 as a relative of Naomi. And in verse 3, if you look at it, our translation reads, "As it turned out." The more literal translation of the Hebrew actually reads, "By chance, she chanced upon." Now, it's translated "as it turned out" for good reason, because you're probably thinking, what does "by chance, she chanced upon" really mean? We think of chance as like trying to pick the numbers, winning numbers in a lotto draw. Or perhaps like Paul the octopus, who keepers would give him food boxes with the flags of the teams in upcoming soccer matches to see which food box he'd eat first. And they took that as his prediction for the soccer match. Whichever food box he ate first was the team he picked. But that was their flag. And he happened to pick the flag of the winning team in all 8 of the soccer matches that they did it for at the 2010 World Cup. Actually, he didn't do as well outside World Cups. There are at least 2 wrong results in that. It was simply chance. He picked the right box. And the passage is emphasizing the unlikelihood of Ruth ending up in Boaz's field, in the field of a kinsman and redeemer, of a relative of Naomi's, of someone who would look after her. In emphasizing chance, the passage is emphasizing God's provision for Ruth, that God enabled Ruth to find Boaz's field when there was no reason for it to happen. He had a plan for her that included Ruth picking grain in Boaz's field. A plan involving Boaz. And Boaz notices Ruth. He knows his people, sees someone he doesn't know, and asks about her. Whose young woman is that? And the foreman knows, because Ruth's asked him. And he says, if you look at verse 6, he says, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi." The foreman emphasizes her foreignness. Ruth being an outsider from Moab, he says, she's a Moabitess, she comes from Moab. He probably feels awkward not knowing what to do with her. But Boaz, then realizing who Ruth is and what she has done, wants to make sure she's protected and safe in Bethlehem. He goes up to her, he calls her my daughter, to make her feel safe. As someone older than Ruth, it enabled her to know that he was simply trying to make her feel safe. He tells her to follow after his servant girls, that he's told his men not to touch her. Clearly, he's got a concern that she, as a woman, with no man there to protect her, in other fields might be abused. He also tells her that rather than haul water herself, a laborious task for a drink, to use the water jars his men have filled. Ruth's taken aback at his kindness, especially because she is a foreigner and she's conscious of it. So she asks why, and Boaz replies that he's heard of all that she's done for Naomi, leaving her homeland and coming to live among the people she doesn't know. And he then goes on to say in verse 12, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Boaz, having praised her for what she has done, now asks God to repay her. He states that she's come to that God for refuge and blesses her by asking that she is richly rewarded by that God, that she's come to take refuge under his wings by our God. Now, in Ruth 1, Naomi similarly prayed that God would bless Ruth and Orpah. In chapter 1, when she could not give them anything, with them having blessed her, she asked God to bless them. And Boaz has the same expectation, that God will bless those who bless his people, as he promised to Abraham in Genesis 12. And Boaz speaks a blessing on Ruth. He's already greeted the harvesters with a blessing. In verse 4, saying, the Lord be with you. And they responded by blessing him. It speaks of the power in blessing, because we have a God who blesses. Sometimes on a phone call, we use God bless to finish it, but it's more a kind of wishful thing rather than an actual blessing. I know I can be guilty of it at times. How often do we really have this expectation that we have a God that acts as he promises but blesses? Because we do. And that's the God that Boaz expected to bless. There's an expectation we should have of our God to bless. Ruth replies to Boaz that she's done nothing to deserve his favor. But that's not the end of Boaz's generosity. He offers her bread with vinegar at the mealtime, more than she can eat. He's a part of God providing for Ruth. And he goes further. When she's gone back to work, he makes sure his men do not embarrass her. He instructs them to be generous to her with his harvest, to deliberately leave some of it for her to pick up. He goes beyond the written letter of the law. He seeks to make Ruth feel welcome. He's generous and merciful. He makes sure that Ruth is provided for from the harvest, whether she realizes it or not. And actually, if we look closely at the law in Leviticus chapter 19, the chapter I quoted earlier about allowing the poor, the foreigners, to pick up grain, it also says the alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, for you were aliens in Egypt. And Boaz is seeking to fulfill this. Ruth's come to Israel, placed herself at the mercy of the Lord, and Boaz seeks to show her God's love. We learn later from Naomi that Ruth's not the only one that Boaz has shown God's generosity and mercy to. He's shown it to others. And it's a good example of being holy. Chapter 19 of Leviticus starts with the instruction, be holy because I, the Lord, your God, am holy. It's a passage quoted in the New Testament reading today. it directly applies to all Christians. Yet generally, we tend not to be comfortable with the term holy. If we use it at all, we tend to apply it to pastors and priests. I suppose it's because we can choose what we do with our time in serving God. But be holy applies to every Christian. It's an instruction to all of us. And Boaz shows us how to do it. He shows us the generosity, the mercy of God to others. He shows us how to represent God and demonstrate the difference that God makes in our lives and how we live. He shows us how to love others, representing God's generosity and mercy to those in need. A challenge for us to copy. So Ruth brings back all she's gathered to Naomi. An ephah, probably about 6 gallons worth of grain. And she also gives Naomi the leftovers of her lunch. And Naomi's excited. She thinks someone must have taken notice of Ruth. Now, in team sport, people are constantly trying to be noticed. To play at the next level, you must get noticed by the selectors or coach. One of the strangest cases of someone getting noticed was for the Australian International Forces side during World War I. They'd picked 13 players. They were stuck for the 14th. And someone looked at a long-gangling youth, thought, he's odd. How about him? And they decided to go with him. That youth was Jack Gregory, who became one of the greatest Australian fast bowlers. But he was first noticed and picked because he looked unusual. Well, here, Ruth's been noticed and Naomi wants to know all about it. What's happened? Ruth tells her that it's Boaz, who Naomi immediately says is a relative of ours, who does good to people. She says in verse 20, the Lord bless him. She expects God to bless Boaz for the good that he does. When Ruth tells her that he told her to stay with his workers, Naomi happily agrees, says that in someone else's field, Ruth might get harmed. So Ruth stays close to Boaz's servant girls, the harvest bin. But in the middle of all Naomi says, in verse 20 she says, that man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. So Boaz is related to Elimelech. He's one of the relatives specifically tasked with redeeming and keeping an eye out for Ruth and Naomi. And seeing Boaz doing this, keeping an eye out for Ruth, gives Naomi hope of redemption, hope that God will actually provide for them all that they need, even though when coming back she thought the situation was hopeless. God's acted in small ways to bless them, and they can see this. For us now, we both have a God who provides for us now, the same God that Naomi was seeing work, a God we can trust now, but also a God who redeems us, who we've seen redeem us through Christ to have a hope and future, a God that in his generosity and mercy sent Jesus to go through death so we might be redeemed with him in new life. A God that's provided a way for the ultimate redemption when nothing we could do could make up for the times we reject, turn away from, or ignore God. shows his mercy and generosity by paying the ultimate price for us. So we should respond by paying, by showing his mercy and generosity to others, by letting others see him through our character and actions, by our love. Let's pray. Father, help us in our lives to live representing you, showing your mercy, showing your generosity because of the hope we have through Christ. Jesus' name. Amen.